The Breakfast Huddle replay from Money FM 89.3. The Bigger Picture with Ryan Hwang.
Good morning. Thanks for joining us on The Breakfast Huddle. And we are in the midst of the earnings season. And one of the big numbers out yesterday came from the SGX. So the first quarter numbers came in with a 25% jump in its first quarter net profit at $114.2 million. And this is its highest quarterly net profit in more than a decade. So this was boosted by customers increasing the number of asset classes that they trade in. So that is the earnings we'll be diving into on The Bigger Picture with some help from Noh Ee Sin. She is the analyst at CGS CIMB. Morning, Ee Sin. How are you doing?
Hi, morning, Ryan.
Hey, TGIF. So before we let you off to enjoy the weekend, we want to get your help first to get a bit of an overview on how impressive these earnings are for you in terms of your expectations. I'm looking at this highest quarterly net profit in more than a decade.
So you have correctly pointed out that 1Q20 was actually a very strong set of results at $114 million net profit with Q&Q and year-on-year improvement. We actually saw robust growth in especially in the derivatives segment, particularly on the higher margin iron ore contracts, FX derivatives, and also equity derivatives like Nikkei and Nifty.
Okay, in the previous few quarters, we saw a bit of weakness in the equities and fixed income space. How does the picture look like right now? Is this, you know, turning around?
Yeah, so I do think that, you know, there are signs that the worst could be over for equities and fixed income. So securities clearing and trading fees have been stable year-on-year and Q-on-Q, while there have been more corporate actions driving the post-trade services. Listing revenue, meanwhile, continues to be sustained by fundraising activity for bonds and also secondary equity issuances, which could also linger for the subsequent quarters. However, in this quarter, we saw some softness in China A50 volumes, but I do think that, you know, this remains as a longer-term structural growth driver for the stock as the weighting of A shares and global benchmarks increases.
So, you've been talking about growth drivers, right? How is SGX doing in its efforts to diversify its revenues to offset what seems to be intensifying competition in the industry?
Okay, so a multi-asset strategy has been the key for SGX in diversifying its revenues. Particularly, if you look within the derivative space, SGX has had the first mover advantage in rolling out new products, so such as China A50 and the Nifty, and in recent years has started diversifying towards FX, which actually only started ramping up in 2016, and also more commodity-related contracts. So the group, we think, that has also been very supportive in investor education and actively engaging its institutional clients in knowing their hedging and investing needs better.
Right, we're chatting with Noh Ee Sin. She's the analyst at CGS CIMB, helping us to break down the latest earnings numbers from the SGX for the first quarter. Ee Sin, taking a step back, if I take a look at the, you know, wider industry, I guess looking at SGX as a destination for listings, how attractive is it right now? Because in recent months, we do get news about how local names like Property Guru have been looking overseas to Australia to list. Of course, that is now off the table. What is the, I guess, pipeline that you're looking at in terms of the flow to SGX and the wider sentiment right now?
I think, so SGX would still remain a relevant capital markets, but more so for traditional businesses like consumer, healthcare, REIT and property. And these will also be the major industry segments that would drive the IPO pipeline in the near term. We do think investors here are generally a bit more risk averse and are still learning to embrace new business models like the tech stuff. And we also think that, you know, there has not been an established track record for tech listings in Singapore. So we understand, you know, companies, the local names not getting the kind of valuations they are hoping for if they come to Singapore. So overall, we do think, you know, more time would be needed.
All right, Ee Sin.
Yeah.
Taking a look at the war chest for SGX, what do you make of it? Is it decent enough to see it look for more inorganic growth, more acquisitions, especially in view of how cross-border deals nowadays are getting more difficult, partly due to politics? What's your take on the acquisition outlook?
Okay, so they have established this $1.25 billion program, so it serves as a war chest. we do not think that, you know, they will actually go and buy another exchange, because cross-border consolidation of exchanges has become more difficult in these days because of, you know, nationalistic political concerns, and especially for exchanges that are deemed very big. However, we in terms of acquisition pipeline, I think the exchange is looking for, you know, smaller acquisitions that could complement areas that they want to grow, such as the data, indices, and connectivity areas, and also the fixed income platforms area. But these would be smaller ones. So the $1.5 billion would be a sufficient war chest.
Okay, Yixin, just to get a take as well, looking ahead, what are the key risks for SGX? How exposed is it to the slowing economy, the lower GDP numbers, and, you know, all the tensions around the US-China trade wars?
So if we are looking in terms of just local equity risk appetite, securities, we think, you know, the worst has been over. It could remain stable in light of this economic headwinds. But, you know, in terms of uncertainty, the derivatives volume is going to continue to grow. And that will be the main growth driver for the stock.
Okay, so just to wrap things up, Yixin, I'm looking at the last close for SGX yesterday at 8.28. Mm-hmm. That's the latest stock price. What is your target price for SGX? Is this a good time to buy in right now, especially when you look at how there's been a pullback recently in the stock price?
Yeah, so post this strong set of 1Q20 results and also the growth drivers in the near to medium term, we actually just upgraded the stock last night from hold to add with a higher target price of $9. So, and this is back to its 10-year historical mean. And the stock also offers about 3-4% dividend yield.
Okay, that's a target price of $9. Yep. For SGX. We've been chatting with Noh Yixin. She is the analyst at CGS CIMB, helping us to break down the latest earnings from the SGX. Yixin, thank you so much for your help.
Thank you.
And have a great weekend in advance.
You too.
Before acting on the information on Money FM, please consider if it's suitable for your own investment objectives, financial situation, and risk tolerance. To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SPH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.